Our Father in heaven, I thank you for another opportunity of fellowship together. Glory to God. As we get together around the word of God, we pray for inspiration of the Almighty. He said, if any man speaks, let him speak as the oracle of God, oracles of God. And I pray, Lord, that those that will hear, our ears will be open, and with our eyes we will see, our heart will understand. And as always, Lord, we declare that the entrance of your word gives light and gives understanding. Pray that that's the case with us today. We receive the word of God, receive the light, receive understanding as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So today's lesson, I know I've done this one time before a few years ago. High winds or dark clouds, faith still marches on. So that's our subject today, and the text is taken from Ecclesiastes chapter 11. We're going to read verses 3 and 4. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. And he that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. Praise the Lord. Now that's a strange text, but let's consider what it is saying. Rain and clouds and tree and so forth. If the clouds be full of rain, well, they're going to empty themselves upon the earth. So basically he's saying there really isn't much you can do about it. If it's cloudy and there's rain formed in the clouds, well, they're going to empty themselves. That's what it is going to do. So what? That's what he's saying. And the tree that is falling, maybe blown by the wind or however way, but whether it falls towards the south or towards the north, wherever it falls, that's where it will be. So what? That's the way I read this. You know, you can't let the fact that it's going to rain or the tree is going to fall will hinder you, you know, from moving forward. It, you know, furthermore, he says, observing the wind, you say, well, it's windy today. If I go out, the wind is going to blow my seed away. You know how people used to throw seed around to sow seed. I say, well, the wind's going to blow it, so I'm not going to do it. It's windy. I'll wait until the conditions are just right. That's one way of looking at the wind. Well, or you can say, oh my goodness, it's so cloudy today. It's going to rain. So I can't go out and gather the harvest. This scripture is saying that if you are looking at those conditions, which you can otherwise not control, and you allow those to influence or you or to the point that it might even hinder what you're trying to do, then you put yourself at a loss and at a disadvantage. Let it rain if it's going to rain. Let it be, you know, blowing high wind if it's going to blow. I mean, those things will happen. You must do what you need to do. No matter what the conditions or circumstances are, real faith will always continue to hold on to God's word. That's real faith. It may look cloudy. It may be windy. But we got to have faith to keep on believing. And even if you knew the storm was coming, would you still enter the boat to try to cross over to the other side? Well, Jesus did. He knew the storm was coming. you know, but yet he wasn't going to allow that to hinder him from going to the other side. Let us pass over to the other side, he said, despite the fact he knew the storm was coming. He knew the storm was going to be very strong too, try to blow away the boat. But he did not consider the storm. He set his mind to whatever he wanted to do. Let's think about that. You know, if we believe his word, and we know that the word of God is forever settled in heaven. Psalm 119 and verse 89 says, "Thy word, O Lord, is forever settled." We need to hold on to that word that says it's forever settled. If it's forever settled, and we also know that the word of God, once spoken, you know, cannot be voided, it must accomplish its purpose, then we need to hold on to the word of God. No matter what the external circumstances look like. He said, "For as the rain cometh down, the snow from heaven does not return thither." Isaiah 55 and verse 10. "But it watereth the earth and bring it," you know, "make it to bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes out of my mouth," you know, "shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it." If we know that concerning the word of God, if we know that the word of God is forever settled, let's also consider these things that the scripture says about the word of God. We should use that to define our posture rather than circumstances. 2 Corinthians 1 and 20 says that the promises of God, all the promises of God, they are yea and amen. You know, it's not, if I say it's not perhaps, maybe, or whatever, it's yea and amen. Yea means it is so. Amen means so let it be. You know, so when we think about the word of God, we need to have the confidence know that he has given his word and nothing is going to change it. Listen to this. He said, "But as God is true," this is 2 Corinthians 1 verse 18, "our word towards you was not yea and nay." We didn't say yes and no in the same sentence, or yesterday, no tomorrow, about the same thing. "For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay. In him was yea." I mean, there is no variableness or shadow of turning with the Lord. You know, so it wasn't up and down, yes and no. I call it all that yo-yo stuff. God's word is forever settled. Say, "All the promises of God in Christ are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us." We're going to talk about, you know, what this means in practical sense. Just trying to call it out so we think about it. Think about it. What are the things that we're trying to do, and what are conditions that may not look just right for the things that we're trying to do? And could those conditions or threatening conditions make us to change our mind? You want to go out, it's threatening to rain. You want to do something and situation, I mean, maybe otherwise. Maybe you may even hear the news of, you know, some government agency that's planning something opposite to what you are hoping for or believing for. Then what are you going to do? You're going to keep on believing or what? Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. James chapter 1 verse 17. And comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, nor shadow of turning. There's no variableness. I mean, it's not one day yay, and another day no, or up and down like that. You know, that's variableness. When he says it, he stays with it. In fact, he doesn't, you know, once he said, that's it. He doesn't even need, you know, to worry about it, because the word will always sustain itself. There's no shadow of turning. Also means there are no mood swings with the Lord. Today, he's feeling good. So he'll say yes to your prayers. Tomorrow, he's not feeling good. So he'll say no. There's no such thing with God. There's no shadow of turning. You know, we have mood swings. God doesn't have mood swings. He's always just the same. Yesterday, today. Moved or influenced by external circumstances. The word carries the capacity to sustain itself. That's the word. And so once we hear that word, we got to believe and stay with that word, no matter what else comes along after you heard the word. Jesus said, let us pass on to over to the other side. That was the word. Well, that word was given, but after the word was given, then situations arose to contradict that word. You know, and I call it contradictions against the word of promise. Now God said, let's go. The devil said, no. I'm going to come against you with storms and tempests and high winds and all. You know, and so that's one way of moving forward. Now, we're not talking about foolhardiness here. There is faith. There's also foolhardiness. Foolhardiness is when, you know, somebody does not consider wisdom, or the wisdom that is from above, but we're using sensual and human wisdom or no wisdom at all. But you say, well, what's the difference then? You know, if you're asking me to believe God in the face of anything else, how's that different from foolhardiness? Well, the difference is your faith is based on the word of God, not based on your emotions, not based on you trying to prove anything. You know, it's just stick the word of God. There's no need to reason it. God said it, just stick it. As it is, that's faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. The very evidence of things that we have not yet seen. That's faith. You know, foolhardiness, you know, does not use wisdom. There's always also wisdom. And let me bring that in here a little bit. We know that if you have real faith, no matter what circumstances you find yourself in negatively, in other words, you find yourself in a deep pit, however you got there, whether it was circumstances due to your own mistakes, or whether it was the devil that tripped you up, or however you got there, real faith will pull you out of any jam if you trust the Lord. You fall into a pit, the Lord will bring you out. Wisdom, on the other hand, might prevent you from falling into that pit in the first place. You know, because The prudent man foreseeth that there is a pit ahead and hides himself, bypasses it. The simple will just walk on, you know, just anyhow, and then they fall into that pit. So, we're not saying to not use wisdom. We're saying there's a place for wisdom. There's a place for faith. Now, scripture calls wisdom principal thing. But also the scripture says without faith, it's impossible to please God. You know, faith is what we use when we're dealing with God. Wisdom is what we use in our own realm. You know, you gotta use wisdom. You know, and you look at circumstances, you look at the facts, you be grounded in facts. Now, fact may not always be truth. There is truth and there are facts. The word of God is truth. We dealt with that the other day, 2 days ago or so. And we're talking about, you know, buy the truth and sell it not. What is truth? Thy word is truth. John 17:17. The word of God is truth. The fact may be, the devil present the facts to you that, look, you are not feeling well right now, so you should just crawl up in bed and stay there all day long. Fact may be that you're not feeling well. But the truth is, I am the Lord that healeth thee. That's the truth. The truth is, you know, the fact that, you know, 1 Peter 2, we are told that the Lord has already healed us, right? By whose stripes we are already healed, you know. So the truth is, well, I've been already healed. If I'm already healed, well, then why should I continue to stay in bed? 1 Peter 2:24. Who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. That's past tense. That's the truth. So, while there is wisdom and prudence to be used in our lives, you know, faith is how we deal with God. Because that's what God answers, is faith. Faith is what causes the Lord to move on our behalf. In fact, Jesus would say in Mark 9:23 that if we can only believe, that's faith in action, all things are possible to him that believes. That's faith. Now let's consider, you know, this scripture that says, well, whose report will you believe? Well, let's see. In Isaiah 53, here are some things which may be raging in our lives, you know, some high winds and dark clouds. Which one are you going to believe? In the book of Isaiah 53, Isaiah was speaking of all the wonderful things, you know, that the Lord would do for us. But he asked us, you know, whose report are you going to believe? Who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? When the Lord says one thing and all the high winds and dark clouds say another thing, well, which one are you going to take? You know, that's one question that we need to try to answer for ourselves. In the book of 1 John 5:9, here's another scripture that says the same thing. It talks about, well, you know, basically, whose report will you believe? But it says it in a different way. You know, if, it says, we receive the witness of man, yeah, that's the report of man. Well, what about the report of God? God's report, God's witness is greater. Now, what is the witness of man? We have even some local channels that are called Eyewitness News. We have one local channel here where I live that, you know, they call There's one program they call Eyewitness News. Well, Eyewitness News or whatever, they can give the news report and people believe all these things. You were not there, but they say it and you believe it. Well, okay, the Eyewitness News, they try to capture, you know, the video and so on, what's going on. They try to show it live. But there are a lot of news reports that we read. You don't see it, but you believe it. I mean, some people read stuff on even sources that have no credibility, but believe them anyway. Like social media, people read fake news all the time, but yet believe it. But if you believe the witness of man, which may or may not even be true or even accurate, what about the witness of God? You know, that's what these verses say. You read the news, you believe it anyway. Hardly anybody reads the news and challenges it that, no, that can't be true. And if you just believe it, just because it's the news. And, okay, news sources are supposed to be, you know, credible. But there are even stuff that we read or listen to that's not even necessarily credible, but yet people tend to believe those things. You know, you turn on your phone, you switch on to your social media, you read some news that somebody posted. It's not even from a news station. It can be anything, because people can post anything on the internet. There is no law currently that says you can't do that. You know, it's freedom of speech, people call it. And post anything. And so you read it, you believe it, whether it's true or not. Well, if we receive the witness of man, how about the witness of God? You know, and when God has given us instruction, or let's say your commander in chief commanded you to go forward, then, you know, all these other things that come up against you, high winds, dark clouds, giants on the way, and so forth, you know, and even your own thoughts, those are just contradictions against the word that God gave. So, faith is always based on the word of God. Once God has said it, faith believes it. Doesn't matter whether there are giants on the way. I mean, some people said, well, there are giants, we can't go and take the land. Others said, well, we can do it because God said so. You know, so what do we see? Do we see the strength and integrity of God's promise or the conditions around us? The high winds and the dark clouds. What do you see, you know, when you look at a bunch of roses that are picked fresh and has some thorns in them? Do you see the roses or do you see the thorns? Now, they cut out the thorns and so forth, you know, trim those off before they bring them to sell it to you in the stores. But the wild roses come with a lot of thorns. But somebody has the insight to say, well, I can cut out those thorns and present it to people as roses only. But roses don't grow like that without thorns. They always grow with thorns. And then you got to trim those thorns out to get only the roses. Can you run through a troop? You know? And can you leap over a wall? These are some things that we have to consider. Will you go out if it's threatening to rain? Will you go and sow? Wisdom may tell you otherwise. Or even the voice of reason. It's a delicate line, very fine line between these things. Well, how do I know it's wisdom and not the voice of reason? Well, there are different ways in which you can know that. I'll talk about that in a second. David said, I can run through troops. Psalm 18, verse 29. I can leap over a wall. There may be some troops, and there may be some walls that they will put in your way after you've heard the word of promise. Can you go through them? You know, or are we going to allow the voice of reason? Very subtle, the voice of reason. It's a very dangerous voice. The voice of reason can say, well, you know, and it's sometimes you look at the voice of reason, it sounds very much like unbelief and fear because they all walk together. You say, well, you know, these people are larger in stature than us. And we ourselves look like grasshoppers. We can't do it. It's voice of reason. And that immediately begins to create fear. Or God promised something, and then, you know, you're believing the Lord, but then you say, well, I don't know about this. I'm getting too old, you know. That's a voice of reason. Why don't you go into my maid here? Maybe that's the way the Lord intended to bring this promise to pass. That was Sarah that said that to Abraham after a while. They were all believing at first. But voice of reason crept in. Well, you know, situation has changed. This and this and this. Voice of reason comes in there. And here's another way voice of reason, you know, come against the word of promise or the word of faith that's in your mouth that you speak. You declared today, because, you know, you also have the power to do it if you believe it. But maybe you're trying to have an event and you say, well, there's not going to be rain. We have prayed, we have declared it. Or you just declare it personally and you try to step out. These things happen to me quite a bit. And then if you declare that there will be no rain, just, and then when you step out, then you get a few drops of rain right on your forehead. What do? You just declare that there is no going to be no rain. And then it looks like it's going to rain and you look at the clouds. Now do you go back and say, well, it's going to rain? Well, why would you say it's going to rain when you already say it's not going to rain? So these are the things, you know, that we must consider. Now, if it was already raining, you know, hard, you can just stay in the house, wait for the rain, or you take your umbrella. Taking your umbrella is the scenario in which you don't allow the rain to prevent you from not going where you're going. You know, you can say, well, I'm going to wait until the rain stops, or you can take your umbrella and go. You know, so if you want to wait until the rain stops, there's nothing wrong with that. If you want to take your umbrella and go, there's nothing wrong with that either. It all depends on the posture in our minds. You know, wisdom might say, well, just wait for the rain to finish. But what if the rain doesn't finish? What if you have an appointment and the rain is just coming down hard, or it's time to go to church, you know, and it's raining? What are you going to do? You know, are you going to brave the rain and try to get in there? You know, I know this last trip that my wife and I went to Nigeria last October, one day the car that we were driving was in the shop. And the mechanic didn't bring it back like he said he would on the Saturday. And I told him, well, I need this car. I got to go use it to go to church the next day. I was scheduled to go preach somewhere. And I kept calling. I didn't bring it back. And then that next day when we were about to go, it started to rain. You could do one of two things. You could say, well, it's raining, so I can't go and I don't have my car and I'm going to be wet. Or, you know, you take the umbrella or whatever and brave the rain and go stay somewhere and get, you know, Uber or whatever. You know. So we decided, well, rain or no rain, we're going. So that's not letting the high clouds, I mean, high winds or dark clouds stop you. You know, you believe God, you move forward. Now, we can also think of using our faith even when it doesn't look like the thing is going to happen. I told the story before of a congregation, you know, somewhere in a parish, where they were praying for rain. In this case, they were actually praying for rain. You know, I mean, you need rain if you are, you know, for the farming season and so forth like that. And if there's, you know, season after season, there's no rain, your crops are not going to do well. So they were praying for rain. And they even had called a prayer meeting where they would come together and pray for rain. And there was a little boy that wanted to go attend that prayer meeting. And he asked his mom for an umbrella. You know. And then he got in there. It was like he went with an umbrella. And everybody was looking at him and said, "What do you bring an umbrella for? We haven't had any rain." I said, "Well, we're praying for rain, are we not?" You know, so it was a funny story when I heard it. I heard it. I don't know if it was true or a parable or whatever, but I think it was true. But, you know, he was believing God for rain. So he prepared himself with an umbrella. The others who were praying, they were not expecting that God would answer the prayer at all. But they were praying. But they were not expecting God to answer it. And that's another problem. You know, it's like in Acts chapter 12, Peter was in prison. The church gathered together and they were praying for his release. And when he was released, he was standing at the door knocking. Nobody believed it. You know, so this is what they were praying for, but they didn't believe it. I mean, how in the world would he be here standing knocking at the door? And the young damsel that went to the door to answer the door knock said, when he heard Peter, she said, "That's Peter." But she couldn't, I mean, she didn't open the door. She ran back and told everybody, "Peter is standing at the door." I said, "You are crazy. You know, Peter cannot be standing at the door. He's in prison. We're still praying for him." Well, he was standing right there. And Peter continued to knock. And, you know, so we got to consider all these things on the subject of faith. Yeah, you know, sometimes we are praying for something. The circumstances make us think that, you know, that thing is, can't really be. I mean, they got Peter locked up. The man's waiting till after the feast to bring him out and kill him. He already killed James. So they're thinking, well, you don't kill him anyway. But you are praying that it should not happen. And when God answers the prayer, you still don't believe it because you were not really expecting the prayer to be answered that quickly. You know, and that's not a good thing. When we pray, we must believe. And we must expect. And we released the amen lesson some time back and say, well, the A means you must affirm God's word. And the M means you must mean what you say. And E means you must expect it. And the N is nothing doubting. So sometimes we're not expecting what we are praying for. Well, we're praying, we're believing, but then circumstances arise and then we stop expecting. Well, I don't know. You know, maybe it's not going to happen. Maybe it's not God's will. Some people even say maybe it's not God's will. When we start going down that path, that's a slippery, you know, slope. Sometimes you say, well, if God heals me, fine. If God doesn't heal me, fine. Well, what's the point of praying that? You know, what Jesus said it this way, Matthew 21 and 22. What things soever you shall ask in prayer, believing, shall receive. You know, Jesus didn't give room for saying, is it God's will or is it not God's will? He said, you should believe. Praise God. You know, now, because we have the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God will already teach you what is God's will. We already know His will. We already know that we cannot be praying and commanding things to happen that God has not commanded. We know that. We've spoken about that on this platform multiple times. Lamentation 3 and 37. Who is he that commanded and said something and comes to pass when the Lord has not commanded it? So we know that. And because your mind is aligned with the Spirit of God, you already know what is within the realm of God's will. So why are you still asking if it's God's will or not? If it's not God's will, then don't waste your time. You should know if it's God's will. This man in Acts, in Matthew chapter 8, came to Jesus and said, if it is your will, you can make me whole. And Jesus said, of course it's my will. You know, so when we are praying for healing, let's know that it is God's will to make us whole or healed. Otherwise, that's why did Jesus pay the price for it then? You know, so that's another area where, you know, we're not sure, you know, I'm praying, we're not sure, well, is it really God? Is it this and this? You know, now the psalmist David, you know, he gave us some testimonies of some things that he faced in his life and various things and how he would, no matter what surrounded him, he was willing to press through and get through it. In Psalm 118, verses 10 to 12, similar to when he said, well, by my God, I run through troops and I leap over walls, the one we read in Psalm 18 and 29. You know, he also said this. I mean, this man didn't care whether it was high winds or dark clouds. He knew what he could do because the Lord was with him. He said, look, all nations may compass me about, but in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. You know, they may compass me about, but in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. They can have compassed me about like bees, but they are quenched as a fire of thorns. For in the name of the Lord, I will destroy. He just kept saying it. And that's how you do it. There may dark clouds rise. There may high winds rise. But in the name of the Lord, by faith, I still keep marching on. Yeah, that's what we're talking about today. It's a simple exhortation, but it's a posture that we must take. You know, no matter what. The story in Matthew 14, which we're also familiar with, we've told the story in Mark 4, verses 34 to 35 to 40 or so, where Jesus said, cross over to the other side and the winds that came against them. Now, consider the story in Matthew 14 of when Jesus told Peter to come, and he was coming, from verses 23 to about 32. But then, you know, he saw the winds were boisterous. In this particular case, the winds were there all the time. But as long as he kept his eyes on Jesus, he was walking on the water. But when he kept his eyes, took his eyes away from Jesus and began to look around, then he saw all the things that could cause fear in his heart. Then he began to sink. You know, so this lesson tells us we gotta keep our eyes on the promise by faith. That's how you do it. Romans chapter 4 verse 20 talked about Abraham not staggering at the promise of God through unbelief. God told him something, he stayed right there with it. You know, although unfortunately he allowed his wife to dissuade him. You know, women can be very persuasive sometimes, and the man has to be very careful. Adam himself fell into that same situation. That's why we are here today in the dog trouble and all the mess that we have. You got to stay with the word of God. What God has said, stay with it. And don't turn to the left or turn to the right. Hebrews 11:1 talks about it. He said, faith is, you know, the substance. It's not abstract. It's got a substance to it. You know, it's the very essence of our faith, substance of things that we're hoping for, the evidence of something we have not yet seen. Well, by faith, faith says, well, I've already got it. So how do you know you got it? Well, God said it and I believe it. And that's my faith. And faith is evidence. Faith sees as real what is yet future or yet to be. Faith today will see what is yet to come, already sees it. But when you see the promise, the faith will see the promise afar off. But the process to get you there is through your believing. You got to keep believing. That's faith with action. You got to keep believing. Faith has seen the promise afar off. Believing will get you there. But as you're trying to get to that promise, what are you going to do when you see high winds and dark clouds? You're going to keep moving forward, or you're going to fall back? You know, so that's the brief lesson that I want to share with us today. When we are dealing with any situation in our life, and we are holding on to promise. Now, finding a promise is very key to anything. We've taught that multiple times in this platform. You must find a promise that relates to what you are believing God for. But then you must be assured that, you know, God's word will not fail. I mean, what's the point of researching to find a promise if we are not going to stay with the promise? You know, I've also often said that the reason why you must find the promise is that it is not a promise unless you know what was promised. So if you don't know that God promised it, well, then you really, it's not a promise. But when you know that God promised it because you found it in the scriptures, then we have to go beyond and also know that, look, there will be high winds, there will be dark clouds that will try to derail you from that promise, but you got to stay with it. Just got to stay with it. And if you're about to step out in faith, there will be high winds and dark clouds that will stand in front of you to discourage you, put fear in your heart so that you don't do it. And that's what the devil does. So you can't go out there. It's a lion in the streets. You can't go out there. It is going to rain. And, you know, he says, well, if you let the high clouds discourage you from going out there to sow your seed, then you will not reap anything. Because if you don't sow, you're not going to reap. But he says, despite all of that, don't hold back, despite the high winds and the dark clouds. Do not hold back your hand. You know, if you read the next verse, you know, he said, look, you don't know, you know, how things happen. You don't know what's in the way of this spirit. This is Ecclesiastes chapter 3 now. We read verses 11, sorry. Ecclesiastes 11, we read verses 3 and 4. I read a little bit further. Say, well, as thou knowest not what is in the way of the spirit, nor how bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child. You don't know. You know, God's the one that bringing that child. You don't know how it's going to happen. Well, say, the same way, you do not know how God will do it. Whatever it is that we're believing God for, don't worry about it. Just believe God. Don't try to compute it and figure it out. Don't say it's raining or it's going to rain. Go out and sow your seed. In the morning, sow thy seed. In the evening, withhold not your hand. You don't know which one's going to prosper. Could be this, could be that, or they both could be good alike. You don't know. But you believe God. And you step out in faith. But you keep your eyes, you know, on the promise. You got to step out in faith. But you got to keep your eyes on the Christ. Christ said, come, Peter. And he stepped out. But he allowed his eyes to drift. So when we step out, we must not allow our eyes to drift. Today, as you consider this brief lesson, what are the things, you know, that you would embark on or wanted to embark on, you know, where you're being prevented by circumstances around you? You may even hear some news to the contrary. Well, whose report are you going to believe? If God says go forward and then somebody brings you some news and says you can't because there are giants in the land, well, which one are you going to believe? A majority of the people, in fact, all of the people, except for a couple, believed the report of evil that said we will be consumed if we attempt it. These people are much stronger than us. They are like giants and so forth. We ourselves look like grasshoppers. We are nothing compared to them. And they will finish us. You know, so we can't do it. Now, most people believe that report. There was another report, just the voice of 2 versus the voice of 10, that said, come on now, let's believe the Lord. We can do this thing because the Lord told us so. And these people, actually, their strength is departed from us. The Lord is with us. You know, don't worry about it. We will have them for lunch. They will be bread for us. Let's do it at once. But everybody chose to believe the other voices that said, we can't do it. You know, so which voice will you believe? There's so many voices. There's the voice of reason that say you can't do it because giants are on the land. Or the voice of faith. And all these other voices will try to silence the voice of faith. And we're dealing with it, you know, I don't care how many years you've been in the faith or how you believe the Lord and so forth, you will be faced with these situations almost daily, where your faith will still be challenged by voice of reason. You know, voice of reason. I mean, how many times did the disciples see, Jesus had to remind them, you know, when I broke the bread among the 5,000, how many baskets did you take up? You know, or this bread among the 7, how many did you take up? I mean, why are you still reasoning that I'm talking to you about bread? See, because when they were taking that trip, they didn't have any bread. They forgot to take food with them. And so when Jesus said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, they thought he was talking about, because they didn't take bread. So bread? I'm not talking about bread. I mean, many times have I done this? And you know, the trouble with our natural minds is that even when God's done something after something and after something, yet another something comes up and we doubt the Lord. The children of Israel, they saw miracle after miracle after miracle. They saw the high hand of God deliver them, protect them while there was judgment in Egypt. There was the darkness in Egypt, they had light in Goshen. Where there was destruction in Egypt, you know, where the water was turned to blood, I mean, their own water was fine. I mean, when all the horrible things and all the plagues that God was sending against Egypt, none of them touched them. They saw miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. They got to the Red Sea. Well, we know that one was very daunting, but they got through it. They got through the Red Sea. And yet, when they found a situation where there was no water, they wanted to turn back. I mean, this is how human mind works if we're not careful. Many of us have seen God do incredible things for us, come through for us in difficult situations. Now you're facing one more difficult situation and you soon forget all that the Lord has done. So let it not be so with us. Let us be people of faith that will still march on even in the face of high clouds or high winds and dark clouds. Dark clouds are looming. It's going to pour. So what? Go out and do what you need to do. If you need to take an umbrella, take an umbrella. High winds are threatening to blow. So what? You know, go do what you need to do. Otherwise, if you cower, you can cower behind these things and you will not get anything done. Can't wait for all the right circumstances before you do anything. Sometimes you got to brave it. Sometimes you got to wait though. If you are trying to go out and there's no real emergency, and there is no real, you know, reason for you to risk yourself. Yeah, just wait. There's no appointment that you're about to go to. It's just something you thought of doing. And, yeah, well, I don't really need to do it now. Well, that's wisdom there. I can wait. Because there's nothing at stake here. So if there's nothing at stake, you know, why, you know, expend your spiritual energy on something that when there's nothing at stake? Just wait. Wait it out. But when there is something at stake, you have an interview that's set for 2 o'clock and it's going to take you 30 minutes to get there and you're about to leave. You give yourself 45 minutes. You wanted to leave and get there early and settle down. And just as soon as you're about to leave, all hell breaks loose. It's raining heavy. You know, are you going to go? Or are you going to stay? Yeah, something's at stake there. So, now, remember, the Lord already knew that it's going to rain. The Lord also already knew that you have that interview. So if you can step out in faith, he will see you through the storm, and you will get there, you know. But you might say, well, I got to wait for the storm to pass. Well, what if it doesn't pass, and the time passes? What are you going to do then? So that's the lesson that we are taking, considering today. There are times when you have to brave the high winds and the dark clouds. There are sometimes when you got to wait. That's okay. One time, Paul told them, look, I foresee in the spirit that this journey is going to be hazardous, but there's a storm coming, you know, and we should wait it out, let it pass, and so forth. And he saw that in the spirit. And God would instruct you. And the Bible said, no. You know, they went, that was foolhardiness, but the Spirit warned them point blank. And they got into trouble. However, the mercy of the Lord saved them by instruction. But there are times when it's just the enemy trying to prevent you from getting to the other side, which is what the Master said. Master said it, he went to sleep, because he knew his word would carry them there. You know, there was no need for him to be looking out for the storm. He already said we're going to the other side. That's it. Done. Going to sleep. Wake me when you get to the other side. You know. So, but the devil is going to try to make sure you don't get there. The Lord already told you going to the other side. The devil heard it just the same way as you heard it. And you think the devil is going to sit by and just wait and let you go to the other side without a challenge? Think again. Devil is going to challenge that word of promise. Whatever it is that God gave you. And it's going to look, situation is going to look like, you know, I mean, going to get all worse before you get to where the Lord said you're going. And I've sent Moses, get you out of there. The Lord told them, you know, that the Lord will take you out, take you to a promised land, and so forth. But their situation got worse. Because Sarah Pharaoh said, I'm not going to let it happen. You know, I'm going to make your situation 10 times worse. So sometimes, you know, it gets worse, a whole lot worse, before it gets better. Because the devil heard the same thing that you heard. You know, sometimes if it were possible for the Lord to show it to you without the devil hearing it, maybe you will have less trouble with that thing. But the moment the devil hears it just like you heard it, then he's going to come out against you every which way. Make sure it doesn't happen, but you got to stay your ground. Hallelujah. So that's our lesson today, and I am going to pray over the room. I wanted to just give a brief lesson today, that let your faith keep marching on. Don't worry about the tree that is falling. Don't worry about the clouds that are full of rain. They are full of rain. Well, the rain is going to fall. So what? If the tree is falling, well, the tree is going to fall somewhere, either to the north or the south. So what? You know, but you need to do what you got to do. Let it rain, which I'm going to. Glory to God. You know, let there be troops. I am going to run through them. Glory to God. Run through troops, leap over walls. Walls, the devil will put up barricades and stuff so you don't get through. David said, well, I'm going through. I am going through. I'm going to either blow the thing down, bulldoze it, or get around it, or jump over it, or run through it somehow. But you're not keeping me back. I'm going through. Praise the Lord. Now, that's our resolve that we must make in the face of opposition that devil throws against the word of promise. God gave it a promise, the devil threw up against all kinds of things. Going to the promised land, there will be the Red Sea, there will be Pharaoh, there will be charging out at you, there will be all kinds of Amalekites and so forth on the way. Hittites, Perizzites, Jebusites, and all these things will be on the way. Make sure you don't get there. But what you got to do? Well, keep flying forward. But the Lord knew all those things were there before he sent you to go forward. and you must go forward. And don't let any high winds or dark clouds hold you back. Father, I thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We will not be held back by circumstances that the devil conjures up just to hold us back. The moment the devil hears the word of God of promise to us, comes up with all kinds of storms and tempests and so on. But we're going through. We're going to the other side. In the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you because you have promised us that nothing, whether the fire or the storm or the rivers, none of these things keep us. So when we pass through the fire, we're going to come out on the other side nonetheless. You know, when we pass through the floods, we're going to come out on the other side nonetheless. But we're passing through. And God will see us through fire or floods or whatever. High winds or dark clouds or whatever. We will get there by the grace of God because we will not be denied. I pray, Lord, that this posture of faith will be in our hearts and that we will stand our ground on the word of God and we will not give an inch. Hold on. Say, be steadfast, unmovable. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, because your word will not return void. Every word of promise that you have promised for every one of us in this room and on this platform today or those who may be listening later on, the word of promise carries the capacity to sustain itself. And we must believe that and keep marching forward. We give you, Lord, the praise and give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.